My wife and I celebrated our 21st anniversary last January 4. And, you know, we first met in high school, and I didn't date her in high school, but she ended up going to Canada for studies. I stayed here, and then she came back, and then she was here for a year after we had graduated, and our friendship had rekindled. We reconnected, and we were both interested in each other. And then she went to the States. So we did a long-distance relationship for some time. And if you look at the map, I'm here in Manila, and Jenny was in Seattle, so about 10,000 kilometers. So we wrote a lot of emails, letters, and I want to read to you one of the excerpts from something that I had. It goes like this. There goes my heart beating, 'cause you are the reason. I'm losing my sleep. Please come back now. And there goes my mind racing, and you are the reason that I'm still breathing. I'm hopeless now. I climb every mountain and swim every ocean just to be with you. I wish I wrote that. But there was a concert last night, which she watched. I didn't get to watch it. But one of the singers, Caleb Scott, wrote that song or sang that song. Our world is obsessed with love, would you say? We love love, yes? Why is that? There's so many songs written about love. People are falling in love. They're falling out of love. It's because you and I were created in God's image. And God is a God of love. So we were made to love. But I praise God that we have been going through this series. Because if you went to the internet and you asked the internet, what is love? You would find 11,700,000 possibilities of what love is. But you and I have been going through this series called Love Rediscovered. Yes? So in your own definition now, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when somebody would ask you, what is love? So please tell your neighbor, what is love? In your own definition, from your own understanding. Guys, I should hear you talking. It's okay to talk in church today. Please talk. What is love in your own words? Love is my husband, daw. Grabe. You know, if you could now trim it down to one word, what is love? One word. God. We just read about that, right? Amazing. God is love. We have looked at Jesus, and Jesus said, let us be known by love, right? He says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. He says, love as I have loved you. We looked at the Apostle Paul. He said, love is action. We looked at James. We learned we need to love radically. We looked at Peter last week, and we learned to love fervently. So this week, today, what are we going to learn from John? Well, I submit to you, if you look at the passage we just read, you will find that the word love is mentioned 27 times. And all those times it's mentioned, it's not phileo love, it's not eros love, it's not storge love, it's agape love. What is agape love? It is the highest form of love. Maybe some of you told your seatmate, love is an unconditional commitment towards an imperfect person. You remember that definition? To seek their highest good, which often requires sacrifice. That's a wonderful definition. That's agape love, unconditional. Say this with me, selfless, sacrificial love. That's agape love, selfless, sacrificial love. And it says it's unconditional. And that is mentioned 27 times in that passage. The next word that's mentioned most is the word God, 21 times in that passage. And then after God, the word abide. Say this with me, meno. Meno, that is the Greek word for the word abide. And what does it mean? It means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. It also means to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, and to tarry. So if you want to remember what the message is for today, it's this. We put those words together. Love is abiding in God. God is love, which is what we read. We can't love if we don't abide in God. We're going to look at what is the source of love. That's the what. And then the so what. What's the so what? We'll show God's love. And then we're going to look, how can we show God's love? We need to stay in God's love. What's our memory verse? Say it with me. We love because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And everything kind of revolves around that. We're going to see where love is from. And as you experience love, God calls us to love others. Let's ask God to speak to us again. Heavenly Father, thank you for this amazing time of worship. You are a God that deserves all our worship. And we thank you that we can come together and worship you freely. I thank you for all those that are listening online, that are worshiping you online, either right now or on demand. Heavenly Father, you know how easy it is for us to get distracted. So we ask in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, you be the one to keep our minds and our hearts. Razor sharp focus on you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, may you be the one to speak to us, that it would be your message, it's your words that would not just encourage us, but transform us. So we pray against any distraction, and we thank you, Jesus, that you're here with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So if you look at verse 7 and verse 12, verse 21, which is the bookends of what we just read, it gives us the application of today's message. What's the application? Love one another, right? We love because he first loved us. Let's read verse 7. Read it with me. Beloved, let us love one another. Now jump to verse 21, the one I highlighted. The one who loves God should love his brother also. You see, love is not just theoretical. Love is something that can be experience. It's tangible. It can be seen. I tell my wife almost every day that I love her. Right, baby? I'm telling you now, I love you. I would climb every mountain. But even though I tell her that I love her, does she feel loved every day? No. And that drives me nuts. Because in my heart and in my mind, I love you. I told you I love you. Why can't you feel that I love you? Because love is more than just words. So we've been married for 21 years. And I am meditating on this passage because I have such a long way to go when it comes to love. I struggle with this. I have so much to grow in. And in our house, when you come into our house, there's a stairway that goes up to the second floor. And that stairway becomes a place where we drop everything. Our groceries, if I have my bag from work, I leave it there. If I have stuff, I leave it there. And most of the time, I don't actually always bring up my stuff. I would just leave it there and I go upstairs. And eventually, my wife, she brings it up. So as I'm thinking about this message, I'm like, what can I do to actually help my wife feel that she's loved? So a very simple thing came to my mind. Why don't you just bring that stuff up? So one day I get my stuff, but more than my stuff, I get her bag and bring it up and whatever else is there, and I bring it upstairs. And she all of a sudden says, oh, thank you for doing that. I'm like, wow, maybe she's starting to feel love. And you know, we're getting older, yes? We all are, by the way. When I look at the mirror, sometimes I don't feel like I'm getting older until I'll see like a funny angle where I'll see the top of my head, and I'm like, shoot, I'm getting older because I'm running out of hair. But my wife, a couple weeks ago, she said, you know what? Well, even last year, she said, my eyes, I can't read things, Nick, when they're near. And, you know, of course, I can still read things, but she's really having a hard time reading things near her eyes. So we had a physical checkup, and there was some test that was done on a machine, and the results came out, and there was some cause of alarm. Like she was concerned about something. So God's amazing divine appointments, we looked for a doctor. Randomly, you know, we found a doctor, set up an appointment, but the doctor's assistant said, we're going to put some drops in your eye, and it's going to be blurry for a couple hours, and you're not going to really be able to drive. So my wife was telling me this. In the past, I would have just been like, okay, take a driver, you'll be fine. Because I wasn't always present when she would do her doctor's checkup when she had four of our kids. A bad husband. But because I'm thinking about this message, meditating on it, you know, I said, oh no, I'll go with you tomorrow. That was a Monday. I'm like, I will go with you to the doctor. So I went with her, went to the doctor. You know, the doctor that we met turns out to be a Christian. She's actually from CCF. We didn't even know. We prayed together. She encouraged us. And we were just so blessed that we had this doctor. She looked at all the scans. She had a rescan done. Long story short, my wife's eyes, we're just getting older. So praise God, it's okay. There's no like, nothing serious there. That was a Monday. On Tuesday, we had our discipleship group meeting. And so we separated, guys with the guys, girls with the girls. And after our time together, some girls came in and they're like, wow, you know, good job. I'm like, good job for what? Your wife, she told us. You went with her to the doctor. I'm like, oh yeah. She felt really loved. I'm like, oh, why is it so hard for me to love? Love is something that can be seen, it can be felt. It's because I'm selfish. And that's why I need this message. I need to know what is the source of love? How can I actually love this way? And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at what John, through Scripture, inspired God's word to us today. Beloved, let's look at verse 7. Beloved, let us what? Love one another, for love is from God. So from this passage, we learn that love is from who? True love is from God. We also learn everyone who loves is, read with me, born of God and knows God. Again, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So this begs to ask the question, is it if we don't love? I want you to follow me, the logic, okay? If we don't love, are we then not born of God and not know God? Or another way to put it, if we refuse to love, are we really born of God? Do we really know God? You know, in the book of John, this letter that he wrote, there's two tests of Christians or a follower of Jesus. One, does this person that you're testing believe in Jesus? And if I were to ask you, how many of you believe in Jesus? Okay, 90% of you would raise your hands, right? First test, you believe in Jesus. You know what the second test is? Do you love? Do you love? Do you and I love like Jesus? And he answers the question. He says, the one who does not love does not know God. I'm not here to make you doubt whether you're saved or not. By the end of this message, you're going to have confidence in where you stand before Christ. It's an amazing passage. But you and I do have to ask ourselves, if I find myself unwilling to forgive, unwilling to love, do I really know God? Am I born of God? It says, the one who does not love does not know God. For, now say this with me, God is love. Again, God is love. For me, one of the most profound phrases in the entire Bible, God is love. What does that mean? Who wrote the letter of John? John. Did he write another book? He wrote the Gospel of John. So to understand this, we now jump to John chapter 17. And this is Jesus' prayer. And John is recording what Jesus said. John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. Now together, let's read the one in yellow. For you love me before the foundation of the world. Wow. You loved me before the foundation of the world. God is love. God exists for all eternity. Which means, before the foundation of the world, there was already love. God and love have existed for all eternity. Why is that? Because the relationship between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit is one that is defined by love. They are in perfect love with one another. So God didn't create you or create me because he needed people to love him. God was completely, fully complete with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So he created us out of his love for us. Right? That's why when he created light, it is good. He created land, water, it is good. He created the sky, the stars, the moon, it is good. God, in his love, created a beautiful world. He created animals, it is good. And then he created you and I, men and women, in his image. And he said, it is very good. You know why you and I have such a longing for love? It's because we were created in God's image. God is not just, it's not just one of his character traits. His essence is love. That's what that verse is saying. God is love. Amazing. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. Remember, love is something that can be seen. It's tangible. You can see it. You can witness it. How did God manifest his love for you and for me? God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. What is he saying? God revealed and proved his love through who? Through Jesus. What is the source of love? In this is love, not that we love God. So love is not from us. It is not defined by us. It doesn't begin with us. Love is from who? Love is from God. Love is God, and love is from God. He shows us what love is. He manifested it in Jesus. Why? Who is Jesus? And what did he do? The next verse tells us. Read it with me. But that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What does that word mean? Propitiation. What does it mean that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins? The word propitiation means to appease. To appease who? To appease what? You know, God is love. God is also holy. He is holy. He is righteous. So God has a righteous indignation towards evil. Remember what God created? Good, 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 very good. What happened when you and I rebelled against God? Sin came into the world. And we see the impact and the effect of sin today, yes? Our world's in chaos. That's what sin does. That's what evil does. Maybe you and I don't see sin the same way because we watch sin, we laugh about sin. But in God's eyes, because he is so holy, he will not tolerate sin. There is a righteous wrath against evil. And I praise God for that. Because then I know that one day he will make all things right. He is a just God. It is his patience. He is patient with us. So how do you reconcile? God is love on one hand. But then God being holy, being just, having this righteous indignation. Me as a sinner, and the Bible says all of us have sinned, can never approach God, right? I am estranged from God because of my sin. And God, being a holy God, is estranged from me too, because he is righteous. So how? What happened? That's what propitiation means. It's the technical word where you have the holiness of God and the love of God. Who was the one who took the wrath of God upon himself? God himself. God didn't show us grace because Jesus died on the cross. God is gracious. God is loving. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why he made a way for us to have a relationship with him. It's unbelievable. It blows my mind. No human could have created that concept. Only God himself. Because God is holy and God is loving at the same time. And on the cross, you have the amazing work of Jesus Christ to reconcile us together. I want you now to imagine you're Barabbas. You remember Barabbas? Who was Barabbas? 2,000 years ago, you're Barabbas. Barabbas was the criminal whose sentence was crucifixion. He deserved to go to the cross. But here comes Jesus. And all of a sudden, all the Jews are saying, crucify him, crucify him. And so, Pilate lets Barabbas go, and who becomes the one who's nailed on the cross? Jesus. Jesus took Barabbas' place. I wonder, if you were Barabbas, would you go to that cross and look and see, I should have been there, but Jesus took my place. 2,000 years later, it's no different. Until God's Spirit reveals to you and me the ugliness of our sinful heart, we won't really care about the story of the cross. But when you see the reality that I am a sinner, that should have been me. Oh, the amazing love of God. We sang about it. He paid the debt. He took our place. That is how God's love was manifested. That's what propitiation means. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross on my behalf. What's the message today? Love is abiding in God. Who is the source of love? God is. We now look at, so what? So what? We love because he first loved us. You have been loved completely by God. And now God calls us to love others. Look, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Our memory verse. Say this with me. We love because he first loved us. Now I want you to close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Now repeat after me. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Now you say it on your own. With your eyes closed. 1 John 4:19. Okay, open your eyes. That's our memory verse. We love because he first loved us. The message is, for us to be able to love this way that God loves us, we need to abide in him. We need to experience it. Then we can give it. No one has seen God, verse 12 says, no one. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. You see, God may not be visibly seen, but his love and presence is felt through who? Through us. I love what Colin Smith said. He's a Scottish preacher. He said, God's love comes to you, and it comes how? Through you. Again, God's love comes to you, and it comes through you. See, we were never meant to just keep God's love to ourselves. And he talks about a love being perfected. It's perfected when we allow the love of God to come to us and allow it to come through us. That word perfected doesn't mean flawless. It means completed. God's love is completed when you receive it and then you love others with it. Look, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, right? If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. When is his love perfected in us? If we love one another. If you are born of God, you will love God. You will love others. We're so blessed to have Khalil and Doreen. Let's welcome them. They're going to share their testimony with us. Let's welcome Khalil and Doreen. Thank you.
In 2002, Khalil and I got married. We were blessed with two wonderful daughters. We were a small, young, and happy family. But slowly, flaws in our lives began to manifest and started to affect our marriage. I was not a submissive wife. I always thought that my ideas were better than his. I was also focused on my career, and as a result, rose through the corporate ladder quickly, which required me to always work long hours. I was simply not fulfilling my role as a wife and mother.
I was not taking care of my wife and was so full of pride. In my mind, she could handle herself. It looked like she did not need my help anyway. I thought we were doing just fine, but eventually, I got tired of all the things that were happening in my life, and worst of all, I felt that Doreen did not care for me anymore. I thought I deserved so much more than what I was getting out of our marriage. I started going out drinking and partying with coworkers and friends, thinking that that was the way to relieve me of my stress. I sought comfort from anyone, and the next thing I knew, I was in an adulterous relationship. I spent less and less time in the house and more time at work and with the other woman. I was unrepentant, believing that I deserved to be happy. I became less involved with our children, almost to the point of abandoning my family. I was drunk almost every night.
I got so angry when I found out Khalil was having an affair. I felt so betrayed and deceived. I wanted to take our daughters and leave him. But this did not happen because my mother and mother-in-law stood in the gap for us, telling me to hang on and not leave him. My father and father-in-law were also praying hard for us. I grudgingly obeyed our parents.
Months later, in the Holy Week of 2012, I had no choice but to stay home because there was no other place where I could go. Our older daughter stayed in my room all day, talking and playing with me. That was the first time I came to my senses about what I had done to my family. Eventually, I asked Doreen that we reconcile for the sake of our children. But there was still no repentance on my part, and I never really changed my ways. I still went out drinking. And worse, I was still involved with the other woman. And I still harbored anger and bitterness against Doreen.
This went on for another few months. I thought we were doing fine already. But I got furiously angry at Khalil when I found out that the affair was still ongoing.
That was a significant turning point for me. I spent the whole night asking myself, why was I doing these things to hurt my wife and children? It was then that I repented and prayed to God for forgiveness. The next day, I sent a text message to Doreen, begging her to forgive me, telling her that I loved her, and I will completely cut off ties with the other woman, and so I did. It was the start of working towards real reconciliation. Not long after, we decided to intentionally attend the CCF worship services as a family and really learn about God's Word. Each Sunday, it seemed that the Lord was speaking to me directly, dealing with my pride and my sense of entitlement. God started to convict me and slowly worked in my life. And experiencing His unfailing love towards me, a wretched sinner, prompted me to truly repent and surrender to God fully.
The Lord was also slowly healing my wounds and hurts, the more I listened to His word every Sunday. I felt God embracing me and filling me with His love. Eventually, we both felt that we needed to grow deeper in our spiritual lives, so we decided to join a discipleship group. The topic of our first meeting was about God's great love for us, sacrificing His Son to die for our sins, and that we need to repent and surrender our lives to Him, asking Jesus to become the Lord and Savior of our lives.
That topic was not new to us at all. But somehow, Doreen and I were crying in the car on the way home after our first D group meeting. We reaffirmed our allegiance to Christ that day and made Him the Lord of our lives once again.
It was in the D group where I realized that I was a sinner saved by grace. Who was I not to give mercy and love when I myself have been a recipient of God's love? Who was I to be unforgiving when I myself was forgiven by Jesus Christ for all the things I have done wrong against Him? When God made me realize His mercy, forgiveness, and love to me, I felt God's peace and fully forgave my husband. I also asked for His forgiveness for disrespecting Him and not taking care of Him.
I also fully forgave Doreen, but the love and forgiveness in our family did not stop there. When our older daughter arrived home after attending an Elevate True Life retreat, she excitedly told us how God had moved in her life. Then she paused, and in tears, she said, "Dad, I'd like to tell you that I completely forgive you." I was floored by what she said and responded while crying, "Thank you so much, anak."
Our relationship has been restored and rebuilt beyond our imagination. We were able to attend a True Life retreat and decided to be baptized to publicly declare our faith in Jesus Christ. In God's perfect time, the baptism also happened on the day of our 13th wedding anniversary.
Praise God.
Praise God. Eventually, God impressed upon my heart to give up my job and become a full-time wife and mother so I can take care of my family the best I can.
We are amazed by God's love for us that not only has He mended our relationship so well, He has even called us to serve together again in ministry. I serve in Exalt, our worship ministry, while Doreen serves in live production. Together, Doreen and I disciple our children, Kiana and Belay, and we also lead a D group where we share the love of Christ with one another.
And now we are here sharing you God's story of love and forgiveness in our lives.
We could not have done this on our own. This is only by God's love, and so we give Him all glory and praise.
Praise God. I want to call up Ariel and Maribel Carandang. They are the disciples of Khalil and Doreen. Were you guys blessed? Guys, this is the main ministry of CCF. It's called discipleship in a small group. How do you get a big church and help people grow in Christ-likeness? The word discipleship means just helping each other grow in Christ-likeness. It's like this, in a small group. I praise God for you, Ariel and Maribel, for how you've invested and poured your life into Khalil and Doreen. And we want to pray for them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Ariel and Maribel, for the love that they have experienced from you. And because you have loved them, Lord, they give of themselves freely and completely your love for Khalil and Doreen. And thank you for using that D group to help Khalil and Doreen to be able to heal completely and reconcile, to understand that we are all sinners saved by grace. And it is only your amazing love that enables us to make difficult choices like to forgive and to continue to love. So I thank you for the obedience of Doreen and Khalil to continue to love each other. And so, Lord, as you have used them mightily to encourage and bless all of us, we pray now for their protection. You protect them against the attacks of Satan. We pray that you would protect their children. Continue to bless them, Lord, in their work, in their ministry as D group leaders, and even as they serve you in this church, in the different capacity that you've given them. And may you bless their entire family, Jesus, their children, that they would all grow to love you and really live for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God for you guys. Guys, you know, Doreen, if you see her, she's actually wearing a headset today because she is volunteering as live production. She has her own work. She's not paid by CCF, but she volunteers out of just the joy and the love of serving God. Let's praise God for this couple. You know, when it says that God's love is perfected in us, you saw an example of how difficult marriage can be, how difficult relationships can be. But when you choose to love and let God's Spirit love through you, it's so powerful. You don't have to be old. We were with our D group family last week. We were out having fun in the water, and I saw an act of love. That was amazing for me. Five kids were on a flying fish, and to make the long story short, it was the adult's fault that the flying fish started going underwater. So because the flying fish started going underwater, these five kids didn't have life vests. We were just having fun and maybe not thinking clearly. One of them falls off, and I was watching. There was one kid that looked back and saw it was his cousin that fell off. And so he let go of the flying fish. Well, he let go. I was already jumping in the water. So I swam with him. The father came and swam. But this young boy, 11 years old, selfless, sacrificial love, jumped into the water to help his cousin. His cousin can swim, but he just wanted to make sure his cousin's going to be okay. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be married. There are so many people that need love around you. Will you allow the love of God to flow to you and flow through you? What's the message? Love is abiding in God. We looked at the source of love, which is God. We looked at why we should show God's love, because we were first loved. Now we're going to look at, well, how can I actually do this? You need to stay or to abide in God, in God's love. Where do we see that? Look at the verse. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. God wants you to have the assurance that you are in Him. What is the assurance? As you love people, as you abide in Him, you abide in love. He's given you His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the assurance of God's invisible presence in us, and He empowers us to love. Amen? That's why it's so important. You want to love this way? We need to abide in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. Read this with me. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us. What is this? Anyone, what is this? Perfume? Cologne? Why do we put this on? Why? We smell good. Or love. Yeah, if you love your wife, you'll put cologne, right? Because sometimes, many times, I don't smell very nice, right? That's why I take a shower and put cologne on. But we all have a fragrance, yes? Some have nice fragrance. Some, not so nice. If it's not so nice, do your part. Make it nice. Now, if God were to have a fragrance, what would that fragrance be? A four-letter word. L-O-V-E. You want to know if God is present in a group of people? Is there love? It's tangible. You can see it. You can feel it. God has called us to love others, to abide in Him. It means you allow Him to show His love to others. There is a fragrance. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. What is He talking about here? Do you know Jesus talked about hell more than anyone else in the New Testament? And if you believe in Jesus and Jesus talks about hell, there really is a place called hell. That's why many people are afraid. They don't have confidence. But you and I have just seen that Jesus, if you are in Jesus, if you are abiding in Christ, He is the propitiation for whose sin? For your sin. You can have confidence because all your sin is fully paid by Jesus. Not only can you have confidence, but you don't have to fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. You know, fear is one of those emotions that inhibits you from doing what God wants you to do. It's an inhibitor. And not only fear, but there's a lot of people now that are very cynical. Do you agree? We are so good at critiquing, analyzing, showing what's wrong. But you know the problem with cynical people? They hide behind fear and they actually don't do anything. That is not who God called us to be. God says you have to understand who you are. You are loved. You are set free. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You have the capacity to love, to become all that you are. You know, one of the things I asked my kids recently, I said, hey, what is something that Dad has taught you that has been helpful? You know what my daughter said? She said, when you taught me that my identity is in who I am in Jesus, that I am God's daughter. I'm not just a volleyball player. I'm not just a student. I'm a child of God. And that's who you are. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, I didn't put it on the screen there, but 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God." Do you know who you are? If you're in Jesus, you are God's child. You are free. No fear. You can be used by God in the capacity He made you to be used. I liked what J.I. Packer said. I'm going to read the quote with you. He said, "Again and again, it appears that Christians are not sufficiently in touch with themselves. They do not know themselves well enough to realize that because of the way in which their nature has been changed, their hearts are now set against all known sin. The regenerate heart cannot love what it knows God hates." What's he saying? He's saying when you are born of God, something changes in you. And what you really want in this life, your deepest desire is really to love God and to please Him. Satan will like to fool you. And he will say, your deepest desire is to live for yourself. And a lot of us, we believe that. We give so much emphasis on, tao lang ako eh. I'm just a man. I'm, you know, that's my old self. But I want you to know who you are. Confidence in coming to Christ. No fear, because you are completely loved. Your deepest desire, and you may not even know this, but if you are in Christ, your deepest desire is to love God, to please Him, and to love others. What is the main ministry of this church? Discipleship, right? And that's why there are many things that the church does. It does like marriage retreats, family retreats, sports ministry. So sports ministry is not, it's just one of the many ministries. But there is a sports camp that's coming. And I talk about this because here's a picture of two young people that got married, Asti and Cams. I was in their wedding in February 9. And both this couple serve in the sports ministry. In fact, Asti was baptized in one of the single sports camps that we had. Now, what blessed me about this couple is in this same wedding, there's a group of young girls that I was chatting with. And I find out that these five girls, 15, 16 years old, are part of a small group led by Cams. And do you know where they met? in a sports camp. So I'm telling you this because there are opportunities for you to love others, get involved in their lives. This couple is investing in these kids. You know what these kids told me? I said, hey, we have a sports camp for 12-year-olds. Can you help? And they all said, we're in. We're going to help. We can also act like a coach, like a mentor in that sports camp. These two boys, they just turned 18 years old. They're twins, Lyle and James. They're elite swimmers, super fast swimmers. They were impacted by the sports camp. They are now starting their own sports camp this year in Zambales. Do you see how when you and I invest our lives, when we live out who we are in Christ, get out of our comfort zone, because we're not limited by fear, and we say, yes, who I am is, God, you made me to love you, to use my gifts for you. That's who I am. The impact is dynamite. I talked to some people after the last service. I'm like, hey, are you part of a small group? They said, no, not yet. I'm like, go to the sports camp. You know, there are two parts to our brain, the left brain and the right brain. And this neuroscientist wrote this book called The Other Half of Church. And so much of our discipleship is left brain. What you're doing right now, left brain. You're listening to me talk to you about God's word. It's important. Spiritual disciplines, left brain. Memorizing scripture, left brain. But the author, neuroscientist, he says, you know where real change takes place? You know where transformation takes place? On the right side of the brain. And what's that? Relationships, love. How can you feel loved in a church this big? It's very hard. That's why we need each other. I go to my small group because I need them. I need them in my life. You know how unloving I am, how much I need to grow. But when I'm in an environment where I am loved and I can be honest and authentic, we have nothing to prove. Many people, I'm so blessed with Khalil and his wife, Doreen. They talk about their failures. And we need that kind of authenticity if we really want to grow. What's the application? The application. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is what? A liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. If you love God, you will love your brother. If you are in God, if you abide in God, you will love. And this command we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. What's the message today? Love is abiding in God. What's our memory verse? 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. God is the source of love. We show God's love by loving others. And we have the power to do that when we abide, when we stay in God's love. For those of you who are tracking with me, I skipped two verses. I'm going to show it to you now. These two verses. This is John. John lived to be one of the oldest apostles. And he wrote this letter in his older age. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, we have seen and testified. He's saying, I have seen. Who have I seen? I have seen that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I have seen this Jesus that I'm talking about with my very own eyes. I am testifying. Because some of you may be saying, wow, to really love that way? How can I love as God loved me? Well, you can't. You really need Jesus in your life. And you may be saying, well, how do I have Jesus come into my life? John tells us. He says, I have seen this Jesus. And then he says, whoever, read this with me, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So my question for you today, will you confess Jesus? If you don't have Jesus in your life, you can't do this. We can't love this way. God is love. And to love like God, we need to abide in God. Develop that relationship you have with God. And you need people in your life, because we were never meant to just be solo flight. When somebody pulls away, you know something's up. You go after them, because God made us for community and for one another. May you give Jesus your life today. May you invite him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are love. Lord, it blows our mind that you sent your son Jesus to be the propitiation for our sin. We worship you, God. We give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you have made a way for us to have a relationship with you. And Lord, maybe there's somebody in this room right now who now all of a sudden your spirit has convicted their heart and they realize, wow, I have sinned against you. I am subject to the wrath of God. And they need you, Jesus. And they want to invite you into their life because they need your forgiveness. And if that's you, I want you to pray with me right now, as honest as you can. Lord Jesus, I have rebelled against you. I have sinned against you. And I humble myself right now and I admit that I need you. So I invite you, Jesus, to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my master, to be my Savior. I confess you, Jesus, as Lord. Thank you for your promise, God, that if we confess Jesus, then you abide in us, which means all our sin is fully paid and we have eternal life in you. Father God, I pray for the rest of us that do have a relationship with you. Thank you that you are the source of love. Thank you that it is only through you that we can love others because you have first loved us. So help us, Father, to grow in love, that we would be known by our love, by your love for us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Good day, CCF family. Welcome to Sunday Fast Track, where you ask real-life questions and we give you biblical truths. I'm Gia Perez from Big Singles Ministry, and we're here today with our speaker, Brother Paul Tanshi, to answer some of your questions. Good day, Brother Paul.
Hi,
Thank
Gia.
You for your wonderful message about God's love this morning. We know that remaining in God's love refers to staying within the flock of our spiritual family, such as discipleship groups and the church. But there are times when love among fellow believers can grow cold for many reasons. One can be busyness and overwhelmed from day-to-day hustles, familiarity, and even frictions among believers. How do we keep Christ-like love among us fresh and renewed, even when these factors mentioned?
It's a great question. And I would say we need to remember, take time to remember who Jesus is, what he's done. Remember the moments in your life also that God really showed up. Like there are certain times in your life that if you were to think back, you'll recall and see God's faithfulness. And so you keep your relationship with God afresh by being in his word, right? Taking time to meditate on who he is, being grateful. I think, you know, when we are not thankful, that is the beginning of the slide to complacency. And precisely why we need a spiritual family. Transformation happens when we are in a loving environment. And so we need to be able to create that for our D groups also. And so many times we come to the D group because we are so maybe dry and we're looking for that love. Whereas if you are in Christ, right, you are born of God. God gives you the power to love. So change your perspective. See your D group as a place where you can go and you can be God's arms, feet, mouthpiece, and be an encouragement to the people around you. And I think that would rejuvenate your own walk with the Lord.
Praise God for that wisdom. So thank you, Brother Paul, for answering our questions. But before we go, make sure to catch the latest episode from the CCF On Air titled Love, Situationships, and Delulus. This is a special episode for the Love Month to help you discover what true love is, what it isn't, and everything in between. Watch it on our CCF main YouTube channel and on CCF On Air Spotify account. And that's it for CCF Sunday Fast Track. God bless.